Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the new episode of the Lost and Calls. Unfortunately, that was just how it had to go today. But call a number. I will try not to type a lot here. 9-4-3-3-8-0-6-4. I'm posting the show on Facebook and on our pages here. So hopefully we'll get some callers. Again, 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you would like. And Peanut Gallery. We have pictures on her online. It doesn't matter if we mention. I don't know what it is about. So, Neil, where were we? Talking about the soul and the spirit last time before we got some clues. So I'm going to get to the right page here. Depends on the show. Connecting to the soul and spirit through the third eye.
Yeah. We all tend to do it because whether you want to deny it or agree to it or not, we all have a soul and spirit. And I'm not going to debate the issue of whether you believe that or not, but we do in our world of thought.
Well, most people that are listening to the show are going to believe in a soul and a spirit, or they
Some
wouldn't be calling
don't.
Psychic
Some
shows.
People don't. They just may chalk it up to raw intuition or whatever.
Possibly, yeah.
We're all plugged into that. Now imagine it like a television set. It's plugged into the wall, the old-fashioned kind at least, plugged into the wall. So it is plugged in. We're all plugged into our soul and spirit. Now, let's say we turn on the TV. That's turning on the third eye. Now it's activated. And if your TV covers all the channels, you're really hooked into the spirit and soul. If they only get a few channels, then you have a limited access. But of course, it's a metaphor.
I'm curious about that. When you're plugged into all the channels, is that a more expensive subscription, or are there tiers? You know, you can get the basic package for less money versus the, you know, every channel.
Well,
for more.
Well, basically, you pay in karma.
Right.
You pay in karma. So if you're plugged into a lot of channels,
then you've reduced
your
karma.
You have actually more karma.
Why would you have more karma?
Because you have more past lives that aggravate the situation of why you came back in the first place.
Right, but if you're plugged into more channels, then there's going to be more access to past life information.
That's true.
So
you're more powerful.
So there's a dichotomy.
But you were talking about a payment plan.
Anyway, there's a dichotomy there. There's a dichotomy there, because if you're limited, obviously, then you're going to have a limited consciousness.
Yeah, because we're all plugged in, but to what extent, even if it's turned on, and then how far it goes. The attitude of the soul is very expansive. We're limited in our body to our lifetime. And maybe the advantage to that would be we can visualize, we can dream. We can go back into the past in our mind and think about things we've done. We can bring to life certain events in our mind. We can imagine the future you know, there are certain things that the mind can do that is not just situated in the here and now. But now when you attach the third eye to the soul, that's a different vibration. You're no longer in the mindset, you're in the soul set. So the channel is now to the soul. Do it on an active level, not just on a physical level. Some of us on a physical level might do it where we just have a weird experience happen to us, or we see some kind of strange phenomena, but we're not really inducing it. So even on a physical level, you can scratch the surface of the psychic realm, even being passive. But if you're going to attach to the soul, well, that's different. Now you've plugged in to a whole different dimension, and the soul is what travels into the astral realm, and the soul is what collects the information from past lives. So the idea is, how do you attach to the soul?
Yeah, and it's difficult. So like, for example, if you're dreaming, to differentiate whether you're having a psychological dream, if you're in experiences, if you're having a psychological dream, or if you're having a dream that is in fact connecting to past life information, you know, for example, I mean, and then of course you could be in the astral realm, not connecting to a past life and encountering souls that you've never encountered before, but, or spirits that you've never encountered before. But when one has the experience of encountering people that seem like strangers, but there's some feeling of recognizance, that could be a past life. And then getting into what that dream connotates is, you know, another story of analysis.
Well, having a psychological dream can resemble an astral dream. It can mimic an astral dream. But when you're having, so you can have a psychological dream. Sometimes a psychological dream just seems to be a mishmash of a crazy thought or something. Your mind come through. There's some attitude of recognition that it's just a psychological dream. An astral dream takes you to it's a different dimension. You feel like you're flying. You feel like you're walking in another world. It's a different feeling. It's almost you can visualize being at Disneyland, let's say. You can visualize it and look at it in your mind's eye, but it's different than actually being there.
Right, but
I mean, if you visualize the entrance of Disneyland in your mind, and then you quickly are really at Disneyland, there's a different feeling that goes on. In an astral dream, you experience a different feeling.
Well, I mean, I'm going to reference a dream that I had recently, which was definitely an astral dream, but it didn't have any flying, walking, movement in it. However, I'm not going to go into complete details of the dream, but there was an entity in the dream that was not human or any, like any animal that exists on the planet, and it was calling me by a different name. It was assigning a name to me, and it was totally bizarre. And it was not, it didn't feel like a friendly entity exactly. It was maybe because I didn't recognize its form, but that was definitely an astral dream, and it didn't have the typical characteristics of an astral dream, yet I knew that it was relating to a past life. So
yeah.
So there are exceptions.
Yeah, that would probably be an astral dream.
Yeah, it was an astral dream.
Yeah. Foreign energies like that and strange languages. Yeah, there's going to be a there's more indication that it's an astral dream that you're having. And the one way to refer to an astral dream is your your astral body, your etheric body has to leave your physical body. There has to be an exit out of the body itself for it to be an astral dream. You just don't have an astral dream in your mind. That's why it's called an astral dream, is your astral body
is traveling out of it.
Through the silver cord. And what you encounter in the astral realm has a certain significance. It's not usually, you can have a mixed bag of incidences in a psychological dream. It's just crazy. It's just a crazy dream. The astral realm, that usually something specific happens. You could be being chased by an entity. You could be encountering something that's giving you knowledge. You could be transported to a different place and time. And it feels like you were there.
Yeah.
But a lot of times in an astral dream, they're harder to recollect. Psychological dreams are more accessible to the mind upon waking up. Astral dreams...
Well, because you're going to a different realm, so it's harder to bring back information from that realm than it is to access mind information.
Well, because your soul, your astral body is experiencing the dream, not just your brain. See, that's the difference. So when you're having an astral dream, your brain is receiving the messages from another body, your astral body. If you're having just a psychological dream, your brain intact in your skull is all of it's intact. Astral dream, the soul that has to translate to the body what it's experiencing. And sometimes it's an easy translation and sometimes it's a harder translation because the astral world is not anything like the physical world. It's a different world. So what happens in that realm is that when the astral body sends messages to the physical body or comes back with information, there has to be a certain sense of translation. So they use like similes. So you don't, in the astral world, you don't literally, you're not driving cars, but you may be flying in an orb or something, and that may be interpreted in the dream as a car. So there's a sense of a fine art of interpretation from the astral realm that has to be worked out once you deem that it is an astral dream. If you're in the astral world, though, and you go to a past life, you literally go to a past life, or literally go to another part of the planet, you can experience verbatim real objects. And they're translated as such. But you have to be able to kind of get into the art of interpretation. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a fact. Interpretation is in fact. We interpret. It's much like a translator interpreting a foreign language into the tongue of the person who can understand it in their own language. A lot of times we don't hear a language in the astral realm. There's a vibration, and it's converted into a language, like in a television set. So you sometimes have that conversion of energy going on via the astral realm. And then there's the idea that if the soul is working something out on the planet, encased within the body, the soul can leave the body at night and do work on the astral plane or talk to a guide on the astral plane. And then this becomes very important, and what's relayed back can be censored to some extent in terms of how much the physical body is able to retain or know or receive the information. So the more that we're in tune with our soul, the more that we practice attunement and balance and harmony and breath, the more we're comfortable walking in or venturing into the astral realm with our soul.
Yeah, and then we're going to be able to bring back more information from those journeys than if we weren't balanced.
That's right. And it's just, you know, the thing about the
aren't
journey,
balanced, right?
The thing about the journey to the astral realm is somewhat analogous to the position of how, let's say you're diving into the water. Your breath will determine to what depth you can go with your natural breath. Some people can dive on 2 feet, and that's about all they can handle. Some people can go 10, 20, 30, 40 feet with natural breath. Your natural breath, in terms of an astral translation, is best executed by a positive energy. The more positive you are in your breath, and the more harmonious you are in the rhythmic energy of your breath, the deeper you can go into the astral realm, because there is depth in the astral realm. There's a somewhat of a dimension. There's a height, how deep you can go, how high you can go. And on each level, you'll encounter different inhabitants. On a lower level, you're going to get lower spirits, basically. Sometimes higher spirits venture down to the lower realms of the astral realm, the most immediate realms. But on the lower realms, you're going to get more crude energy. But it can be significant. The higher you go, the more celestial the energies become, and the more spiritual they become, the more an essence of light they become. And then that information that you receive becomes more divine than just pragmatic or situated to you, maybe a general area of your life. You get something that's more divine in content. So the process of that is about what? The soul. And collecting the elements of the soul. Now, like a beachcomber, you can discover where your soul has been by looking at your surroundings. For instance, are you prone to like American colonialism? Are you more French Mediterranean? Even in architecture, this gives you some indication of where your mind has penetrated in certain elements and realms of the past life situation. It's just not about immediate interest.
Right, but on another note, specific past lives may infuse themselves into one's current existence, while other past lives may not have any relevance to that specific incarnation that they're dealing with. So it just depends on what life you're leading. You might have a great interest in, what did you say, American colonialism?
Yeah.
But you could have lived during the French Revolution, and that part of your soul's history is not coming to the surface in a specific lifetime.
Right.
So, I mean, it just depends. Why, you know, then you have to ask the question, why is a specific past life experience impacting someone's life at that specific time? For what reason? What is the lesson that's supposed to be learned from, you know, whatever past life is impacting them in that current lifetime?
Right. You can even take it to the point of birth. You know, they ask, where were you born? What difference does it make, really? When you really ask that question, what difference does it make where you were born? How does that pertain to who you are at 25 or 26? In the astral definition of the word, where you were born can basically be where you left off.
I mean, and
in a past life,
you know, certain talents may come to the surface in a lifetime, but it doesn't mean there weren't past lives doing other things that one might have a deficiency in. I had a teacher once who said, you know, I believe that you language in terms of languages. I believe that languages that come easily to a student are a result of a past life experience. You probably had a past life in the country where the language where the language is not difficult for the student. However, I don't agree with that at all, because you can have past lives in other countries where the language does not come easily in the current lifetime. I know that for a fact. So why a specific language might be more easy in a certain lifetime, even if there were past lives in other countries where there may be a challenge with that language, you have to get deeper into the analysis of why the challenge is coming up with a specific language that one may have had a past life in the country of that language, such as French, for example. I know I've had past lives in France. I know that for a fact. French, not a good language for me. It's not an easy language. So why is that? We have a caller, but
yeah,
you know, Russian, I'm very good at pronouncing Russian. It's easy for me. Do I have past life in Russia? Yes, I know I have past lives in Russia, but why that dichotomy?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I had this horrible hacking cough once, and someone walking by said, "Oh, you know Hebrew?"
Okay, with that, we'll bring on Karen. Is this Karen?
Yes,
Karen?
It is. Yes,
hi,
it is.
Karen.
Hello. Hi. Hello. One moment.
How's it going?
Hi. It's going well, not so well right now.
Oh, boy. Hey, what's going on? 3/31/71. You're coming up on a birthday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. In a week or so. She's 25/7. So tell us, fill us in.
I'm sorry?
Fill us in on what's going on.
Well, I just want to see what you see in regards to a move that I'm planning. I'm hoping that everything goes well. And I'm supposed to be getting an apartment, and I just want to see what you see, whether I'm going to get it or not. And
so
I have to move from where I'm at now.
Right, because I remember we talked about this last episode, and there was a question of whether you're going to be moving into the city still, staying in a city environment, or the suburbs. So is the apartment, where's the apartment located? Is it in the suburbs? Because
the city.
Yeah. I had an idea that, but we were telling you the suburbs last time. Okay, so that was not quite correct. City. You're moving into the city. So did you look at other apartments, just out of curiosity, that are further out?
No.
You didn't. You just decided to go with the city.
Because I live in the city, yes.
Yeah, I know you live in the city now.
Right.
So you didn't even look at other apartments in other
areas?
No. Okay.
But...
okay. Because we advised, well, I mean, you advised her, I'll say. You were suggesting suburbs, but she didn't even look in the suburbs.
Well, I mean, maybe by her.
Yeah,
she,
I mean, she, convenient.
About, I was suggesting suburbs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, suggesting. But her, but so a suggestion
was
different than a...
She asked. She did ask. She said, well, do you think it'll be in the city or the suburbs?
Oh.
But she didn't look in the suburbs, so I mean, we can't even really apply.
Well, if there, you
I
know,
did
Karen,
inquire now that I remember, I did inquire in the city.
Yeah.
I just made a phone call.
And your so your question is the move going to go smooth? Is that your question?
She doesn't even
yes.
know if she's in the
exactly.
apartment. You haven't received. You haven't gotten notice that you've been approved.
No.
The apartment.
Correct. Exactly.
Well,
but we hope that it will be.
So you found this apartment, you put a request in, and you're waiting to be evaluated so you can be accepted and move in.
Exactly. Exactly.
And your birthday's coming up in about a week.
Yes.
You're going to be 50.
And you're going to be 50.
Which is a doubling of
doubling. The move... You see, you have two ones in your, you have a one in your day and a one in your year.
Yeah.
And you have you have, actually you have, when you look at your first three numbers, put together the two threes, you have a six and a one. And
yes.
When you look at your year, you have a six in between the seven and the one. So what it means
right.
is that you would have to be regrouping back to a location that karmically you've been connected to before, whether it's on the land, the ground, the building, the area, there would have to be something familiar. This apartment that you're in question about,
yes,
in their decision, are there any familiar landmarks around? Did you notice anything around the apartment that felt like home or that would be
yes.
convenient for you? Tell me about that.
Yes. Yes. The buses were very, like, right in front that go by continuously. And then beautiful stores, a mall, suburban, white, beautiful homes in the back.
What goes by? What was the first thing you said?
Buses.
Buses? Okay, I want to ask you a couple questions. Number one, have you ever known anybody in your life named Francis or Fran? Anyone?
Fran. Oh, yes, Francis was my aunt.
Francis was your aunt?
Yes.
And she's crossed
yes.
over?
Yes.
Well, according to the vibrational field from the other side, I heard someone calling out named Francis. And that spirit, that soul, said you're going to be moving there.
You're correct, because you had told me that I was going to talk to a lady named Judy or Judith or Judy, but the man that showed us the apartment yesterday, his name is Rudy.
Oh.
Well,
okay, that's we'll go with that.
Yeah, and it's also in a brown complex. It's a long brown building. You also told me that a couple weeks ago.
You know, in our rough and ready hike here towards the future, we seem to be going towards the idea that the apartment will come in. It
okay.
appears to be that way. And the aunt, the Francis and the buses, because when you said bus, I heard Francis. For some reason, that word brought the spirit in, the soul in, and then I heard a kind of vibration that suggested you're going to be moving there. So that's what we're doing. And who is the connoisseur or the person who likes wine? Who likes wine around you? Anyone in your past?
My mother likes wine. I like wine. My aunt likes wine. That's about it. Oh, my boyfriend
okay.
likes wine, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a ridiculously common question, but for the moment, it isn't. It's just what it is. It seems to be that you're asking a question. We're trying our best to answer it. We're not,
yes,
you know, 100% always right. But what the indications seem to be, something from the other side is mystically penetrated into the reading, Francis. And
okay.
and so it seems good.
So why aren't you doing well? Are you just anxious about the move, whether you're going to get approved for the apartment or not?
Yes, because he said, the gentleman said that I'm going to take your application. I have a lot of applications, but he sat down with us and he showed us the place and he says, you know, I like you. I just have to run a credit check. And I just, he's just very, because he lives in the building, he'd be living across, and he just didn't want a lot of people. I look young, but I'm actually older. I mean, I'm older than I look. So I think he thought that maybe there'd be a lot of young kids or maybe parties or something in there.
Oh.
And so, and that's I think, like, he, we have to negotiate a price. And
doesn't
a lot of places.
On the application? I mean, he would know where your age, right?
I didn't see You know what? I didn't see that on the birthday. Maybe I put it on there and I didn't remember.
Okay.
But,
is there any kind of landscaping in front of the apartments, flower beds? Any green area?
Yes. Right across the street on the side, there's large, like large lawns. And right across the street, large green lawns and shrubberies. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was seeing. All right. Well, anyway.
Beautiful houses.
Well, it sounds like a nice neighborhood.
Oh, it's very nice. It's very nice.
And Chicago's a great city. You've got great food there.
Yes. Yes, it's right across the street from a pizza. It's funny you mention it. It's right across the street from a pizza place.
Ah, interesting. Chicago pizza place.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What's how long have you been living in your current residence?
22 years.
Well, you're in between that is 21 years, which is a multiple of your 7 times 3. So, well, you know, at all point right now, that's where the arrow seems to be pointing.
Okay. So I'll let you know if we get the apartment. He'll let us know in a couple of days. He went out of town. Next week he'll let us know. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Hope I have good news. Thank you.
Okay. I hope so. Bye. Have a good week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I wonder if she, you know, I always am curious whether, you know, people prefer European wine or American wine, especially being in Chicago because she's like in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the export or the import of European wine, I mean, obviously we get European wine here in California, but people are kind of like crazy over California wine. New York, Chicago, I mean, there seems to be more of a balanced market.
Italian wine.
Huh?
Chicago might be more inclined to Italian wine.
Yeah, and French too. Anyway, this really has nothing to do with our topic, but I'm more curious now. Too bad we didn't ask her what pizza place is across the street. But that would be giving away her location. But in a famous place is Luminati's. That's a Chicago pizza place that's very, very popular, as we know. Anyway.
Well, it's amazing. If you collected all the pizza places across the United States, you wouldn't have room to walk. You know, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at how many restaurants there are. And how they survive, and they're all filled. I mean, restaurants.
Well, nowadays, it's
business,
been
but
much more difficult,
but hard work. So, you know, in this respect with Karen, when she's talking, she's really elaborating on a point in her chakra system, the first chakra, which is earth, ground, home. And the energy of that situation being that she's got ones on either side of her birth date. And so there's a strong suggestion of change. Obviously, she's been living in her current residency. She moved there after the age of 25 because she expressed that she was there about 22 years.
22 years, yeah.
At the most. So that would have put her...
That's a long time to live in an apartment. I mean, she's in an apartment now. So that's a really... I mean, usually people that live in apartments don't live there 22 years.
No.
I mean, maybe it's... I don't know. Maybe in a city it's different, but
some people
not
just,
here.
They aren't homeowners and they just...
But I mean, usually there's move or, you know...
Yeah.
That's a long time to rent an apartment.
Yeah, it is. In some respects, it is. But she was probably around 27 when she moved there.
And you know, her initial call to us, you probably don't remember, was the first time we ever spoke with her was regarding an issue with her water pipes freezing. That was her first call to us. So it was related to the home, in fact.
Oh, well, yeah, there's going to be issues with her home.
No, hopefully not. Hopefully
well,
not
mean,
upcoming.
Since she's got a one in her birthday, there's always going to be some position there. And, but, you know, in her code, she's a 25 equals 7, and there's a 2, a 7 in there, at approximately a 27. She moved in maybe to her apartment. So, and 25 is not divisible by 7.
It is not.
So there's a 4-year difference.
But she is on, she's coming up on the doubling of her 25.
Yeah.
At age 50. But she looks a lot younger, she says, than...
She does.
Yes, we don't know, now,
we don't
know what she looks,
you know,
like, but...
Why would her aunt come in to give the... I mean, of all people, her aunt comes in from the astral realm to say she may be moving there. I mean, why do we have these ancestors that sometimes pop into readings? And if you believe that they are there and you're not just picking a name at random that happens to be a family name, if you believe that there's a vibration behind it, why do, the question is, why do souls linger around people that have been in a family? A lot of times souls, when people expire, their souls do go into that astral realm, and they're on a lower level of that astral realm. Doesn't mean it's bad, they're just on a lower level. And they haven't graduated from that. So they're within the range of communication with their immediate past.
Yeah.
Immediate past.
And in fact, we had something about this just come up with someone who was inquiring about a reading and wanted to know if there was a time frame, because the research that the person had done had indicated there was a time frame that after the expiration of the life, the person that died, that there had to be an adjustment period in the astral realm of 3 months to a year before you can really contact a spirit. Now, my answer to this person was, there's no time limit as long as the soul is accessible. Obviously, if a soul has completely graduated from the astral realm into a high essence of spirit, there's not going to be interaction with the earth. So it's going to be much more difficult to communicate with that soul. But if the soul is still connected to the earth, then it doesn't matter if it's a day or an hour after they died or 10
no.
months.
No, there's no rule of thumb that there has to be a time frame. When my grandmother crossed over, she visited me within the hour that she had crossed over. And I was sitting in a classroom, and I smelled her. She had a certain smell. I smelled her distinctly.
It was a good smell.
And then about an hour later, my cousin came and said, your grandmother died. You need to go to the hospital. So now, is that just because I had a premonition or... No, I felt her. I felt her looking at me. And then the smell just emphasized it. So in that astral realm, we, our souls are most susceptible to it. So when we astral project, we basically... The first place we go to is the lowest level of the astral realm. It's the most immediate realm. When the astral body leaves the physical body, there is a brief transition within the etheric realm, within our aura, if you will, where the astral body is leaving the body through the silver cord, basically through the third eye, and it starts to move in the very, very first entryway of the astral realm. So it's like putting your toes in the water at the beach, at the very edge of where the water is. There are animals in the astral realm that we seem to be getting in contact with. Thomasina. Thomasina died about 50 years ago, but we do have a connection. She's telling us to wash off paws after we eat fish. Well, I don't know. We'll think about that. But when you first enter the astral realm, the soul first enters that realm, there is a brief energy field to where they have to ultimately transcend the aura alignment of the body. So then it moves through the aura alignment, and then it's cast into an astral field that is not within our immediate aura, or the aura around us, the essence around us. It's now cast into a different world, and that is where we can experience more than just our immediate thoughts. We're now cast out at sea, so to speak. And in that realm, that is when we start to really loosen up our consciousness, and we dive into areas of topics that reach really beyond our immediate realm. So when the body leaves permanently, when the soul permanently leaves the body and there's no silver cord there, there's no real adjustment that needs to be made. In fact, it's almost, sometimes the adjustment is immediate. The soul may absorb that it's no longer attached to a body. There's nothing there. But it's like telling Pinocchio that when he went from a puppet to a real boy, well, now that you're a real boy, you need to go to therapy to understand you're a real boy, and you're going to be there for 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's absurd.
The soul is the soul.
Right. And
the soul doesn't need to adjust to being a soul.
And aside from that, there's no time frame in the astral realm. There's no linear time. So the suggestion that there needs to be a three month to a year adjustment. So much entertainment today. 3 month to a year adjustment of that soul. I mean, what is the soul going to do? Have a schedule of classes. Obviously, there's education in the astral realm.
One problem a soul may have is that if it leaves the body with work undone, or it leaves the body dramatically, like in an accident, there may be then
right.
some commotion.
Exactly. And so there may be, in that case, and I was actually thinking about this, but if, for instance, if a soul or a person commits suicide and they are cast into a solitary existence until their normal life would have expired, then there may be a feeling of time for that soul that's cast into that realm. But aside from that, we're just talking about people dying, a normal death.
But suicides and violent deaths, my experience talking to souls is that they go into an area where they feel they're trapped.
Right, trapped. So there's going to feel,
there's going to be a feeling
of linear time in that. Track.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there is linear time in the astral realm. You can move through time and space and hit different periods of time. There is that awareness.
Yes,
of time,
of course, but it's not
like
you're on a
level
clock.
Of the astral realm. But when you rise to a higher level, time seems to vanish. There's a bending of time, and we're getting more into other theories of time and the bending of time and
quantum
light
physics,
and
blah, blah, blah. Okay.
But the immediacy, the linear line, we live on the planet on a linear line. We're so accustomed to to linear time and the progression of days into months into years, and the progression of life year after year after year. We're so accustomed to that that our physical minds don't think anything that's circular in that respect or that transcends time itself. When the soul leaves the body, it doesn't have to worry about linear time anymore. It reconnects to the circular energy of time,
exactly.
The eternal time.
So
there might be a brief element that there's no longer a restriction of physicality, and there's no longer a restriction of physical breath, and there's not an hour or a moment you have to worry about. So you know, we may because of the time essence of this incident, we may have to close the show early. We have an immediate problem in the astral realm that we have to attend to.
Yeah.
But we're short. We're almost at the end of the show anyway.
Yeah,
so what we'll do is we'll
close
the show and deal with Thomasina deal with that. It seems to be a
pressing issue. Okay. Well, we're back on the air Wednesday, unless we decide to do the show tomorrow. Who knows? It's up in the air. But we'll speak to you soon, nonetheless. Bye-bye.